In the last class, I had asked a question, if you remember, for a 2D dynamical system, can we have a trajectory like this in the phase space in two conditions, when we have autonomous system versus when we have non-autonomous system? Did anyone think about it?
In autonomous systems, if we have something deterministic, then if you start at that point, then which way it would, in principle, it should not have any crossings, right?
Yeah, that is right. So we should not have any intersection, basically, in autonomous system versus in non-autonomous system, it can have. So that is correct. So the thing is, like, given any dynamical system, it defines a vector field in the phase space. Can you see that? So take any xy position. These functions p and q, evaluated at that point, gives us a vector basically. So at every point, there's a vector in the phase space. So that defines a vector field. Now, if the system is, so these vector defines how a trajectory at that point will evolve for the next moment of time. Now, when the system is autonomous, then this vector field is constant in time. It doesn't change in time. On the other hand, when the system is non-autonomous, then the vector field can change in time. So at time, for non-autonomous system, basically, if A and B are two points, this can be, this may be not equal to, sorry, at a point itself, just a one point and two different times. So that's why, like, since the direction of the vector field can change, if you start somewhere from here, suppose it goes all the way from here, and then when it comes back to this point, the direction of the vector field may be different, so it can do a different thing. So in general, what we can do is take the time coordinate as the n plus 1th coordinate of the system, in the sense that you can define one more variable, z equals to t, in the sense that z dot equals to 1. That is an additional equation of motion. So in the sense, our 2D non-autonomous system can behave like a 3D autonomous system. So it can have all the properties that a 3D system can have, 3D autonomous system can have. So in last class, I had also discussed the divergence of a vector field. Like, what happens when it is positive, when it is negative, and then when it is zero. But I think it was not very clear. So let me derive it, why this is so. So consider a dynamical system where x is an n-dimensional vector. So and f will be f1, f2, n functions of these vectors. Now consider that a set of initial conditions evolved and it occupies a volume V at time t, and like for simplicity we will consider n equals to 3 for example, and this is the surface at time t now, and this is the outward normal of the surface, and suppose this is the vector field direction. So in time dt, suppose it evolved to this, and the new surface is s of t plus dt. So n hat here is the outward normal and f basically gives instantaneous velocity of points in the phase space. So f dot n will be the outward normal component of these velocities. So consider a patch of area dA . What is the volume that it will sweep out in time dt upon evolution? So it will in time dt, this area sweeps out a volume. So now what is the volume at time d plus t plus dt? It will be the volume at time t plus the volume swept by tiny patches of surface integrated over all patches. So that will be equal to volume at time t plus surface integral of . Is this clear? Any doubts?
Means here we are, this whole volume is in phase space.
Yeah, that is right.
So f dot n dt is okay, I see that.
Normal, and this gives the instantaneous velocity, so. So from there, what is the velocity for the volume, this rate of change of velocity of the volume? this. Will be this, which from that equation will be the integration over the surface . Now here we can, this is a surface integral, here we can apply the divergence theorem, so which is using the divergence theorem, which can see that v dot is basically divergence of f times dv. Now suppose we are considering a space volume where divergence of f is constant. Suppose it will not be constant everywhere, it may change sign, change magnitude, but let us say if del dot f is a constant p1, then dv by dt is equal to p1 v, and if I integrate both sides, this will give us log of which will imply v of t v0 times ec1t. So now you can see that when c1, which is the divergence of f, if it is less than 0, this will imply the volume will contract exponentially, right, exponentially fast in that region of the phase space. Likewise, if this is greater than 0, this will imply V0 will expand. And if it is equal to 0, it will, V0 remains constant upon evolution. So can you tell in what case do we see that the volume remains constant upon evolution?
Conservative systems.
Yeah, like all the time independent, actually any Hamiltonian system, even time dependent ones actually have this property. So Hamiltonian systems, the volume does not expand or contract in phase space. If you take, like, you may be aware of this Liouville's theorem, right? That d rho by dt is 0, basically the density in phase space does not change with time. So the proof of that theorem can be seen from divergence theorem, actually applying an n-dimensional divergence theorem.
What do you mean by Hamiltonian system? What is the definition?
So Hamiltonian system, like, if you have some function of coordinates and momenta, and it can be time as well, and the coordinates, like there can be n coordinates, so every coordinate has a corresponding generalized momentum. X dot is equal to del H minus del H.
One of them has minus, one of them does not, but
yeah, like
any system can be formulated in Hamiltonian sense. I mean, what is a Hamiltonian system?
No, like here in general, in Hamiltonian systems, most of the time, like when we are talking about, in this sense, like you have particles and particles have a generalized coordinate and momenta. But for example, when we are talking about Lorentz model, where we have temperature, where we want to study temperature, pressure, humidity, evolution of these things, if these are the variables, though that system can't exactly be formulated in Hamiltonian system unless and until you are considering all the particles in the system, right? So those kind of systems like are not exactly Hamiltonian systems, or even like you can add a dissipation term to these, for a friction, for example. So then it becomes a dissipative system. It is no longer, you cannot describe a dissipative system, for example, with friction, any mechanical system with friction, using these. Like there, you will need to add something to the term and equation of motion may change. So like it follows a symplectic structure, basically, Hamiltonian systems. So like just seeing how we have this, like in Hamiltonian system, the divergence, for example, or Hamiltonian system, this will be actually equal to using the Hamilton's equation of motion, you can see that. So thus the divergence of the vector field for Hamiltonian systems is zero. So now, can you think about, like we discussed several types of equilibrium points, right? Nodes, focus, which can be stable and unstable, and saddle and center. These four things we discussed. For which of them the volume can contract and which of them the volume can expand, and for which of them you can't say what is going to happen. Can you say like stable first, stable focus and node second, unstable focus and node third, saddles and fourth, center. So what will happen, like for a stable focus on and node in the vicinity, in the neighborhood, if I start with a volume of initial condition in very close neighborhood where local linearization holds, what will happen to the volume?
Decrease.
Yeah. So for stable focus and node, the volume will decrease, it will contract. So they are often called as sinks in literature. And for unstable focus and node, the volume can expand. So they are often termed as sources of volume in literature. And for saddles, it depends, like the balance between the negative and positive the real part of eigenvalues. So it may contract, may expand, or may remain constant. For center, the volume will remain as it is. So last day we talked about the Poincaré Bendixson theorem, which talks about when can we have limit cycles in a system. And limit cycles, just for reminding, are isolated periodic orbits to which nearby trajectories converge. Like if it is a stable limit cycle, there can be unstable limit cycles also, in which case, just like equilibrium points, they can be stable or unstable, right? So limit cycles also, they can be stable or unstable. If it is unstable, nearby initial conditions will diverge. And if it is stable, nearby initial conditions will evolve towards it. So the fourth condition, in the theorem, there were four conditions. The first three conditions are easy to check. The tricky one is the fourth condition, where we need to find the region. There should exist a trajectory such that a trajectory remains confined in that region. In the sense, I had drawn a picture, for example. So this is R. We needed to prove that there exists a trajectory C such that it remains confined upon evolution in this region. So it is a tricky one to prove. And this can usually be done by construction of trapping regions. In the sense that if you can prove that the vector fields point inward on all boundaries of this region. So this region has two boundaries, right? The inner boundary and the outer boundary. So from the vector field, if we can prove that the vector field actually points inward at all the boundaries of R, then it is a trapping region. And in this case, no initial condition can escape this region. So by construction of trapping regions, we can check the fourth condition of Poincaré-Bendixson theorem. So trapping regions are closed connected sets such that the vector field points inward everywhere on the boundary of R. This will imply then all the trajectories in R are confined. So in today's tutorial, for a simple system, we will construct a trapping region. Like that is one of the questions. and thus prove the existence of a limit cycle in that system. So that was using Poincaré Bendixson theorem, you can prove when there can be a limit cycle, when a limit cycle exists in a system. What about non-existence of limit cycles in 2D autonomous systems? Currently I am talking about those systems only. So there is a Bendixson's criterion for non-existence. Of limit cycles in 2D autonomous system says that if the partial derivatives of P and Q with X and Y respectively are continuous in region R, which is simply connected. Simply connected means it should not have any holes. Like here we constructed a region, it has a hole. Simply connected will imply that it does not have any holes. And the divergence of f, which is basically del p by del x plus del q by del y, is not equal to 0 at any point in R. Then this system has no closed orbits in R. Sorry?
That would be dq by dy or something. On top.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, so if the divergence is not equal to 0 at any point in R, then this region, if it is a simply connected region, it cannot have a closed orbit. So in 2D autonomous systems, we saw there can be two kinds of attractors, which are point attractors and limit cycle attractors. So I'll define here properly what an attractor is, and there can be other kinds of attractors. And has anyone heard of strange attractors by any chance? So we'll go to that concept from here. An attractor is a closed set A with following properties. A should be an invariant set. If A is an attractor, it should be an invariant set. What does that mean? Any intuition?
Start from A, it remains in A.
Yeah, that's correct. Any trajectory that starts in A should remain in A. Second property is A should attract an open set of initial condition. This would imply that there exists an open set A, open set U, that contains, this open set should contain A. Such that if an initial condition belongs to this open set, then the distance from this trajectory at time t to the attractor tends to 0 as t tends to infinity. This basically implies that if we start sufficiently close to the attractor, then the trajectory, then A attracts all of the trajectory near all those trajectories which are sufficiently close to it. And we defined an open set A here, right? So these, the largest such open set U is called the basin of attraction of this attractor. And the third condition, third and last condition is A should be minimal. Any idea what does this mean? A being minimal, this attractor like this. This means that there shouldn't be any proper subset of A that satisfies the conditions 1 and 2. So let us just understand this through a simple example. X dot is equal to x minus x cube and y dot equals to minus y. This is the system. Let I be the interval consider this set y equals to 0 and x is minus 1 to 1. Is I an attractor for the system? So what should we do to check this? What should be our first step?
Check that for any x and y in the range that it stays within the right.
Yeah, that is right. So first we can find the we should draw the face portrait. So for that let us find the equilibrium points. So these two are decoupled. For finding equilibrium point, x dot equals to 0. So x minus x cube is equal to 0. That will imply x is equal to 0 comma plus minus 1 and y dot equals to y imply y dot equals to minus y implies y equals to 0. So and then since they are decoupled we can find the derivatives individually rather than finding the Jacobian 2 cross 2 Jacobian. So you will find that if you do that you will find that 0 comma the origin 0 comma 0 there are three fixed points here. Fixed points are equilibrium points, they are used interchangeably. So there are fixed three fixed points here. So 0 0 the origin is unstable, you can find the derivative and check it, and rest 2 plus minus 1 comma 0 is stable. So if we draw the face portrait, this is the unstable initial condition. Any initial condition will go on here, will go there, this will go there. I start on y axis.
Y axis arrows should be opposite. 0 0 is unstable.
0 0 is unstable in this direction actually, but y dot equals to minus y, right? So if I start with any point on y-axis, the magnitude of y will decrease here. So since they are decoupled, like unstable, in a sense saddle for this. Like,
yeah.
So okay, I should write here. Saddle. So it repels in the x direction, but attracts in the y direction. This is from the equation. You can see directly. So now, can you tell me if this interval is an attractor? Let us check one by one. So first condition is A should be an invariant set. So is it an invariant set if I start on this interval minus 1 to 1 on x axis? It remains in itself, right? A point here will remain here, a point here will go to this. So it is an invariant set. Second, it should attract an open set. So it does attract all of the initial conditions nearby, like this line, in the sense that, oh, it does satisfy second condition. What about third condition?
It's minimal.
Sorry?
It is minimal.
Yeah.
If you expanded the endpoints out a little, then it would, sorry, if you remove any of the points, then it would just flow towards the equilibria at the end, so it wouldn't be close anymore.
But if I just suppose, if I just take these two points, this one and this one, instead of the whole interval, what do you think? Will that is a proper subset of the interval,
right,
and still satisfies one and two?
You're right.
So in that sense, it is not minimal. It satisfies one and two, but it is not minimal. It is not an attractor. Like, the whole interval is not an attractor in that sense. The attractor is basically these two points is the attractor. If I consider this point, can you say what is the basin of attraction of this point? This is a stable fixed point, right? Yeah, so everything here is the basin of attraction for this point. Everything here is the basin of attraction of this point. So this x equals to zero line.
Just one of the point, then also all the conditions are satisfied, right?
I mean, this is also an attractor and this is also an attractor. So individually, you can say that they are two attractors.
Not minimal, right?
Sorry, in the sense?
These two points, if you consider a set of these two points, then it is again not minimal, because each, even if you cut, divide, like just take one point, then also both the conditions.
Yeah, so then we can say like the whole attractor set of the system, you can say this and this, but individually they are also attractors. That's right. That individually, if I say just this minus 1 comma 0, it is an attractor, and 1 comma 0, it is also an attractor. So we discussed basin of attraction. Now, this x equals to 0 line, this is called basin boundary. In the sense of attractors, here again we can see that these stable focus and node, they are attractors because they will satisfy those conditions. On the other hand, sometimes in literature you can see unstable focus and nodes will also be called repellers. Repellers or sources, so these terms are used synchronously. Now, can you see that the Hamiltonian systems can neither have attractors nor repellers? That is a very important point that in Hamiltonian chaos we will see in detail, but here, can you see that? Like, for anything to be attractor, it is attracting an open set towards it. So the volume has to shrink. So that will imply, and on the other hand, for repellers, it has to repel in every direction. So the volume has to expand. None of these can happen in Hamiltonian systems. So Hamiltonian systems do not have attractors. They cannot have even strange attractors. So in dissipative systems and chaos, we have strange attractors, but in Hamiltonian chaos, we do not have strange attractors. Can they have saddles, Hamiltonian systems?
Yeah.
Yeah, so overall it in one direction, it can be attracting another direction it can be repelling. So overall, they can balance out such that the volume remains constant, and they can obviously have center. So then in Hamiltonian systems, we can only have saddles and centers. We do not have focus nodes, focus and nodes, whether stable or unstable. So we have discussed 2D systems. Going to 3D systems now, which can show chaos. So let us start with the Lorentz model. In this model, it is a 3D. Initially, Lorentz gave a Lorentz model the weather using a 12-dimensional system. But then he minimized it to a 3-dimensional system. So we'll consider the simpler model that he studied. There's sigma R and B are parameters, and all are positive. This is called in the literature. This is R is called Rayleigh number. Can you see that the system of equations is non-linear? What are the non-linear terms here?
X, Y, X, and.
Yeah, there are two non-linear terms here. If we would remove those terms, then it will become a linear system of equations. So let us compute the divergence. Of this model. So that will be del x dot by del x plus del y dot by del y, del z dot by del z. So del x dot by del x will be minus sigma, right? What is del y dot by del y? And del z dot by del z? Yeah. So what will this imply? The divergence of f, you can see, now we have already considered the parameters to be positive. So sigma and b are positive, so that's why the volume at time t, if we take any volume, we have just seen this to be the case, right? So the volume in the Lorentz model, it is independent of initial condition here. It is indeed the divergence here is independent of xyz, which was not the case for van der Pol oscillator, which we studied in the last class. In van der Pol oscillator, we studied limit cycles, so that divergence was dependent on x there. Here, the divergence is not dependent on the variables. So everywhere, no matter where you start in the system, volume has to decrease. So it is a dissipative system, and volumes in the phase space of Lorentz attractor shrink exponentially fast. So this will implies imply that what kind of equilibrium points can't be there in the Lorentz model?
Repellers,
yeah. So it cannot have repellers, that is unstable force and focus and nodes in the system. So that will imply that if there are fixed points and limit cycles in the system, they either have to be stable or they can be saddle in nature. So even limit cycles can have saddle behavior. So I told today that limit cycles can be unstable. Limit cycles can also be saddle in the sense that, like if it is a 3D plane, for example, and then there are three directions. In certain directions, if you start with initial condition, it will go towards the limit cycle, but there can be other directions where you, if you start, it will diverge away from the limit cycle. So fixed points and limit cycles have to be either stable or saddle. Now, these two kinds of attractors we have seen. What other kind of possibilities can be there? Like from the analysis of the divergence, we see that any volume of initial condition should shrink to a limiting set of volume zero, right? So if it shrinks, if it goes towards a fixed point or a limit cycle, this is understandable. What other possibilities can be there in the system? So in higher dimensions, like these two possibilities are also there in 2D systems. In higher dimensions, we can have other attractors. One of the possibilities is a strange attractor. Few more possibilities are known, like there's a quasi-periodic attractor. And then there can be strange attractors, but non-chaotic. They have also been found in some systems. Does anyone know the properties of strange attractor by any chance? Any guesses? I'm sorry.
Volume
might not
be zero.
I'm sorry.
No. Volume has to be zero somehow. But
yeah, like. So, strange attractors, they are of measure zero in the embedding phase space. In the sense that a Lorentz model is a 3D space, right? So you know that any point or line or surface is of measure zero in a 3D space, right? So likewise, strange attractors has to be of measure zero in the embedding phase space. But secondly, like lines and surfaces, these have integral dimensions, one or two. But strange attractors, they have they can have non-integer dimension, some fraction or irrational number. Like, does anyone of you know about Cantor set, for example?
Yeah.
So you take for example, this, I mean, I don't remember the exact limits, but something like that, take a part of a real line, remove 1/3 of it. And then there are two intervals left. From the first interval, remove 1/3. Second interval, remove 1/3. And then you are left with 4 lines. Remove 1/3 here. So you go on doing that infinitely. So what you are left with is called a Cantor set. It is a fractal. And this set has a non-integer dimension.
What is the definition of?
So there are some methods called box counting methods. So something using which the dimension is like counted for, like measured for these kind of sets. Like it does not occupy like a full space of the particular dimension that we are talking about. So something like that. I have not read about fractals a lot, frankly speaking. But so that is the thing. These strange attractors has non-zero dimension, and it was found that Lorentz model, for example, the strange attractor corresponding to the Lorentz model that you may have seen in figures, its dimension is counted to be 2.06, something around that number. But third thing is, there should be sensitivity to initial conditions on this attractor. Like if you start with two different initial conditions on this attractor and evolve it, you will see after some time they might be very far apart on the attractor and you can't predict where they will be. On the other hand, there can be strange non-chaotic attractors where you have like this, they can be of measure zero in the amending phase space and have a fraction, like non-integer dimension, but they do not exhibit sensitivity to initial conditions, so that's why they are strange non-chaotic attractors. And we will discuss briefly quasi-periodic attractors as well today, tomorrow. Thanks a lot.